Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to you in person and online. I do have to say this. I felt like I was playing Zelda right there with that music. I don't know if you've ever played Zelda and Nintendo, but I was like, okay, jump here, move here. And that's all I could think of as it was going on. And I know that has nothing to do with it, but just had to say that, right? Well, good morning. Welcome to the River. If I don't know you, my name is Caleb. It is great to be here in person. I have grown weary of the snow. I know many of you have as well. I feel like you can put it in the calendar. It snows every Sunday and Wednesday for the rest of the eternity, by the way. All right. And so now it's just what it is. And so my daughter had a basketball tournament yesterday, and we left, headed to Howell for her basketball tournament. And you look down on the dash and it was negative 18 degrees. And you go, Lord, I feel called to Florida. All right. Right? Florida, somewhere warm. It's just the way life works, but we're thankful. I always remind myself this is important. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What a reminder, a scriptural reminder. Obviously, it's the truth in the word, but for me, it's like, all right, Lord, yes, you have created this day. Yes, this day didn't catch you off guard. Yes, I can moan and complain and whine and whine some more. But yes, God, you have me here for a purpose, and I am grateful for it. And so just glad to be here with you to open God's word as we seek to be taught and we seek to be shaped and molded. I was grateful for Adeline's prayer. That is our hope, right? Is that the word of God shape, mold us to be more like Christ. That is who we want to be. That's who we want to be as a church, ultimately shaped with the gospel of Jesus Christ, realizing Jesus saw us in our brokenness. He saw us when we had nothing and loved us, cared for us, and sent and came and died on a cross, right? God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be saved and have hope for eternity. And so hopefully that warms you up this morning, as dark and dreary and cold and weary as many of us may be. We are so grateful for the love of Christ, that it shapes, molds, and gives us hope for eternity, not only for eternity, but for today on this Sunday morning. I hope you enjoyed the location pastor swap last week. Patrick was here, our Walled Lake location pastor. I told you 2 weeks ago, man, he can preach. He's a great speaker of the word. He's fiery. I like that. He went to Waterford Mott. I don't like that, but that's okay. All right. Kettering grad. And so, no, he really loved Pat and just loved his fire and just his fervency for the scripture. Really just seeks to know it, communicate it, and live it out. Got a great testimony. I know he shared a little bit about that, just what God has done in him, through him. And I will say this as somebody that is a little older than him, I only see God doing great things through him. And I see him doing great things for the Lord in the future. So excited about that. And so I was at our Goodrich location. They have two gatherings, 9 and 11. So I had to reboot and shoot it again. And so I preach and then preach twice. And so I had fun doing that. They are a little more stone cold, stone faced crowd. And so, you know me, I really do well with that. Not at all. And so they're like, what is this Spaz jumping around on stage for? Just to get a reaction, right? No, it was fun to be a part of that. Goodrich, and so 9 locations, 1 church, being a part of that. And so it's always great. And so I know many of you have enjoyed that. Some of you are like, man, I don't like that. And so we just always want to make the church about the Lord. It's not about a pastor. It's not about any of us, right? It's about honoring Jesus Christ. And that's why we're gathered here this morning. One quick communication and announcement. And so Last year, we presented to you in January some additional ways to give. And so you're like, what is this? And so as a church, we are partnering together and seeing the ministry lived out as we give faithfully in our worship to the Lord. And so last year we did local missions. We did some building repairs as well as we did the last fund is slipping my mind. We did three additional funds, all right? And so this year we are going to do something a little different. And so we're asking you to continue to faithfully give to the general fund as we see the Lord do great work in and through that. And we're thankful for your partnership in that. We're going to actually preach a little bit on giving this morning. But we're going to ask that additionally you give to missions. And so we're going to really challenge the church this year, give you some highlights, and we're trying to do a couple mission trips and bring a missionary in from the Philippines, and so some different things in missions. So we're going to highlight that as a church this year, and so I'm going to challenge you to give above and beyond your general giving to missions. And then here at the Holly location, we presented this, I would say, the middle of last year. We are always doing these Power of Three building programs at our locations. And say, what is that? Well, a few years ago, we started receiving a $3 check from an inmate in Ohio. And so some of you have heard this story. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But he would send them monthly. And so this inmate, we encountered him through our prison ministry, and he wanted to partner with us here in the advancement of the gospel. That is what it's about, right? It's advancement of the gospel. And so he began to send us a $3 check. And so if you know anything about prison, $3 is a lot of money, all right? They're making pennies on the dollar. And so he began to send us this monthly in partnership of the gospel. And so we saw that and we said, hey, you know what? We want to get the Power of Three to continue. And so we want to see that snowball effect. So we had an idea to begin to do some capital building improvements. And so as you drive in, as you were dropped off, that the overhang is so fun, so great, highlights the entrance, very, very clear. And so through that Power of Three program, that was done. And so presented through the middle of last year, we're going to try to add some bathrooms as well as some storage area and enhancements to our gym. And so if you're not busy this Saturday, you can come on out Saturday. There'll be Reach Basketball. You'll see somewhere between 400 to 600 people in that gym. And so it's great. Every single game, the gospel is preached and proclaimed. And so we want to enhance our gym as we continue using that for the ministry to reach not only kids playing basketball, but aunts and uncles, grandparents. And so we'll keep you updated on that. We do send a monthly update as well, just keeping you update where we're at, hoping to get some of that work done as we had a little excess from the overhang. And so going to roll that directly into the bathrooms and the gym enhancement. So I wanted to communicate that with you. And so I always want to say this, prayerfully consider how God can challenge you to participate in these areas. And so thank you for your faithfulness, but we also want to continue to see the Lord do great things. Let me pray and we'll jump into the message this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you today. God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for hope. God, thank you for heat. God, something that I take for granted. God, as we sit in a place and we're not sitting outside, we're sitting in warm chairs, being able to preach with a microphone, with lights on, God. So many things we can list that we are so grateful and thankful for, God. We want to highlight you in them. God, this morning, we ask that you speak through your word. God, we praise you. We love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Over the last month, we have looked at the beginning of Acts, right? And so if you've been with us, you've seen the early church being established. We've seen these new Christians really picking up the mantle that really the ministry of Jesus, as Jesus has been crucified, he's risen again, And he's now met for 40-ish days with these Christians and giving them their final kind of missions. And I love the conversation he has with Peter and challenging him to be the leader, if you will, of these left apostles. And so he challenges them to what? Go unto all the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to really be as a testimony, as a really missionary, not necessarily worldwide, but in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces, as we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he says, go unto all the world and proclaim this good news. And then he says, hey, you know what? The church is now being established as you gather together. And that's what we're doing here on this Sunday morning. We're gathered together. Why? Because it's important. We need one another, right? We need the encouragement. I love Hebrews where it says to stir one another to good works. What does that mean? You are called to encourage one another to live for Jesus every single day, right? And so hopefully as we're gathered together as a church, you will feel that. You'll understand that. I love that idea to maybe motivate, encourage us. Like, hey, you know what? The depths of life. You know what? As we gather together, we're encouraged to go live for Christ. And so then it doesn't just stop there. We are to disciple, as Jesus says, disciple one another. What is that? Teach. As we look at the scriptures, the word of God, the word of God is our instructions on how to live for the Lord, right? God's word, living and active as it shapes, as it molds us, as it convicts us, as it challenges us to live for Christ. And then what I love about the mission, it doesn't just sit there where we sit and grow and grow and grow, where we sit fat and happy and go, you know, feed me more. No, it should motivate us to what? Go reach others. Go reach others. Live for Christ. You know what? Wow, God, you've done incredible things. I'll say this, the more you read of the Bible, the more you realize what God has done for you. The more you study the scriptures, the more you realize how desperately lost we were, yet by the grace of God, we can be saved. And so for us as a church, we are really trying to challenge, as we look at these early church, living out the mission, the work of Christ. And I'll say this to you before we jump into the message. Way long of an intro this morning. I'm way long, but that's okay. We'll catch up. As we study, as we look at this, this isn't a Sunday morning at 10:30 message. This is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This is an everyday message for us to live out the life of Christ, right? To live out the light as we shine the love of Christ. And that's hard, right? It's easier. How about that? As the church is gathered. But it's way more difficult when the day doesn't go your way. Or everyone is driving 11 miles an hour and you're late for work. And there's snow on the ground. So wait, that happened to me this week. I drive, right? But we realize as we live out the light of Christ and live out that example, we've been called to reach the lost, to gather as the church and grow and then really watch that cyclical ministry live out. This morning we are going to deal with one of the more sensitive topics preached in the church. All right? And so for me, it is one that I don't love preaching, but it's a truth that we must preach and teach as we seek to really understand what Scripture is shaping and molding us to do and our response. It also challenges, again, how to live wholeheartedly for Christ. And so for us, we must look at this idea of giving and go, what does Scripture teach and talk about money, things, the dealings of what possessions are? You know, the Bible mentions possessions, money, wealth over 2,000 times. And so many of you hear that and you hear the pastor say giving and all of a sudden a wall comes up. Why? Because I know religion, churches, ministries have manipulated that for self-gain, self-glory. But I also want to for us to really look and see, what does Scripture teach on this? Because there are a lot of warnings. There's a lot of warnings. Why? Because Scripture knew that we would be susceptible to the love of these things. Now, I'm not kicking having money. I'm not kicking having possessions. I'm not kicking having wealth. But guess what? If wealth, possessions have you, you may have a problem. As we look and examine, that's the warning of Scripture. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. And that is describing a constant focus on, I have to have this. Why? We as Christians have been called to what? Have a focus on the ministry of the gospel, as we just got done talking about. Reaching, gathering, and growing. And if our mindset, our priority is on the things that are not that what God has called us, then we are mixed up as believers, followers of God. And for us, as we look at this passage this morning, the beginning church, Acts 2 church, early church, beginning to look at this. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and you look at verse 42. They had a devotion to four things, but one of them was fellowship. I mentioned that's not a potluck, all right? That's not what's described here, all right? That's not describing a potluck where we get together or cookies and juice. I listened to my brother's sermon a couple weeks ago. He described as kids going into the basement of Faith Baptist Church for cookies and juice after Sunday night, all right? But that's not what this is describing. What is this describing? It's describing a partnership. It's describing us relying and needing one another. That's what this is describing. So that's what that fellowship, a community caring for one another and uniting for the gospel. I mentioned this idea of this idea of being sensitive, or this topic being sensitive. And so if you're new, you're a guest, you clicked online, you're wondering what this church is about, I will say this to you. This church is not about money, all right? That's not what we want. That's not what we're desiring. We're seeking souls. We're seeking souls to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the priority, okay? And we're going to preach the whole counsel of God, meaning we're going to preach every truth. Like, how do we live that out? And there's some things that make us uncomfortable. I realize that. I may say some things that make you uncomfortable this morning or challenge you. Guess what? I'm just as uncomfortable and challenged as I preach them. All right? That's not a fake or pretend. This is a reality. But as a pastor, I want to faithfully shepherd and steer the church to what God has called us to do. And so this can be sensitive, all right? But we realize, I would say this, and maybe you don't realize this, and I shouldn't say that as an assumption. We must realize, how about that? I like that statement better. There is a significant battle in our hearts for many of us over material possessions. There is. That's what commercials on television are, right? That's what advertisements are. What? There's an appeal. They're trying to appeal to, oh, that would be nice. I'd like to drive that car. Wow, that house is great. You know what? Maybe you watched House Hunters, right? On HGTV. My wife likes that show. I end up falling asleep to it just about every night. All right? But she likes that show, right? Why? It's an appeal. Like, oh, that house would be better, right? And you can go all throughout. And we're just mixing in some of those things. But the idea that these possessions, these material things, there's a battle inside of us. And it can be sensitive. I'll say it can be even really a dangerous subject. As we talked about, the Bible gives us some warnings. 1 Timothy 6, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." What is the warning there? You've given up your walk with Christ for possessions. You've given up your walk with Christ for wealth. Again, I'm not saying possessions and wealth are wrong, but if they own you or they are placed before God, then they are wrong. That's a very clear understanding. You go back to Exodus, right? Place no other gods before me. We think, all right, I'm worshiping some gold false idol. No, it's placing something that is earthly above God. And we tend to do that. We can look at our priorities. We can look at our time. We can look at our investment. We can look at what we're thinking about constantly as we examine that. The Gospel of Luke also warns us. Mark chapter 4 warns us, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 gives us another warning, calls us to invest or lay up treasures in heaven, warning that one cannot serve God and money. And so, as I mentioned, this idea of money, wealth, possessions, mentioned over 2,000 times. Not in a way to get your stuff. That's what you hear, the manipulation or the sensitivity. Like, okay, pastor's after my stuff. Nope. Don't care about your stuff. I got enough stuff. Right? Probably too much. Not probably. Too much. I'll answer that. Right? No, what is it? Is my focus? Is my mindset? Is it my possessions or is it the Lord's? God, use it. And so Jesus highlights this obstacle for us, and I'm glad he does. And I want to preach on this idea that we must be sensitive to this obstacle in our life. We have to be really aware of this in our life as we realize, as Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 2, and now Acts chapter 4 highlights that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. What is that mindset? God, it's yours. My possessions, my wealth, God, it's yours. Like, you use it, you shape it, your plan, your purpose. We sought needs. So as we look at this idea to be sensitive to giving, I know you're like, wow, you just did a word phrase. I thought we were supposed to be, I realize this topic is sensitive. Now you called me a sensitive giver. I realize that. That's our call, to really be aware of needs around us. Prayerfully consider, God, what do you have for me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this idea of sensitive giving. So you have a Bible, a device, you can flip to there. I guess you're not flipping the device, but turn there or scroll there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this very, very clearly spelled out, what the church should be in a sensitive giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we begin to look and see the idea of the Corinthian church being challenged to be sensitive giving. So I'm not going to read the entirety of this passage, but I want to look at some of these ideas. But the first idea I want to give to you this morning is, we as a church, we as Christians, we as followers of Christ have been called to be sensitive to the needs of others. Sensitive to the needs of others. And in verse 2 it says, for I know your readiness, of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know your readiness. What was he describing? It was a desire to be like, all right, God, I want to be used. I want to use what you've given me for the advancement of the gospel. I want to use the blessings you've given to me. I want to use my finances. I want to use my wealth. I want to use the things that I own for betterment of the gospel. Then he continues and he says, for your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has been stirred up Most of them. I love that because it talks about the generosity that we've been called to live out. It's infectious. It's infectious. Wow, I saw someone else. Like, I want to be a part of that place. So being sensitive to the needs of others. That word readiness, some translations, it may say zeal or eagerness. The King James Version translates it, forwardness of your mind. It's on the front of my mind. I'm ready. I'm focused. Like, God, how are you going to use me today? That's our mindset. As you take your head off your pillow, you're like, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but God, I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to be used. That's specifically in dealing with finances, that's specifically with dealing with things. How are we ready to be used with the blessings God has gifted us? And you're like, well, I thought you said, like, the love of money is the root of all evil, so I keep it kind of on the front of my mind. You see, the mindset is going, God, it's yours. I'm ready for it to be used today. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to use me for the advancement of the gospel? Being focused on that. And so being sensitive in your interactions, looking for that. I love hearing testimonies from some of you. You're like, you know what? I just felt the Lord leading me to give to this, or Lord interacting in this interaction, and I was amazed what God did for me. I was amazed what he did. And so being sensitive to the needs of others. And so I'll say this to you. This is pretty forward. Giving to God is not a tax. Right? We think, okay, I came, I gave to God as a tax. I paid my dues. Now I go do whatever I want. That's not the heart of giving. Being a heart of giving is being sensitive to the needs. Going, God, what do you want me to be a part of today? So it's prayerfully considering, God, place someone in my life, place a need, place a desire, place some interaction. So we also look at that the sensitivity of needs is not to give grudgingly or out of extortion or manipulation. That's why this topic is sensitive. That's why this can be sensitive. How about this? Not always, it can be. Because pastors, religions, denominations, someone has manipulated you potentially. But as our heart is saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. And I want to give to you. I had a conversation this week in our men's group on Wednesday night. It was shared. Somebody shared this. I had never heard this idea. But he said a pastor got up and he literally said this. Hey, he celebrated the new air conditioners in the building. I'm glad the air conditioners aren't on right now. Some of us may feel like they're on, but they're not on, all right? We talked about the air conditioners being on, and this guy was in. He talked about being in the building. He said, the pastor got up and said, celebrated that, and he said, but I want you to hear this. For anyone that didn't give to the air conditioners, I hope the air conditioning doesn't touch you. It only touches those that gave to it. And I said, well, that's dumb. And I probably shouldn't have said that. I realize that. I have to work on my tongue, self-control. That's stupid, right? That's not what giving's about. Hey, you know what? So I can be a part of it. So I can have a class. That's not the giving that we've been called to teach, right? Or even challenge people. That's grudgingly. That's out of extortion or manipulation. What do I want to? I want to exhort you. I want to teach you. I want to challenge you to be faithful to God in your giving. Why? Because God has called you to do. God has called me to do that. That's why it's about. It's not about, hey, you know what? So we can get a bigger building. So we can get this. We can get that. That's not what it's about. It's to advance the work of the gospel. Paul, even in the previous chapter, preaches on or teaches on the idea of accountability when it comes to this. He actually talks about and sends a group of people not to hold the church accountable so that there would literally be an audit of what was given. They would keep track. Why? Because it's important. It's important to not misuse, to be good stewards of what God has blessed with. And so that's important as we see that. And so we're called to be sensitive to give to the needs of others. And we're to be sensitive to give generously. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. The idea of generosity here is to live open-handed. That's the description. You understand that idea, that illustration, to live open-handed. God has blessed me with things. Do I hold them? Or do I say, God, it's yours? I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know why you've blessed me with it, but I'm going to live open-handed. I'll tell you this. This is how we should live in all things in our life. And that's hard to do, because that's that investment, as I described earlier, as Jesus teaches on, where we invest in the things of this world that moth and rust will destroy, or do we invest on or in eternal things? And that's our heartbeat, or should be our heartbeat, to live open-handed. I love this quote. The church gives freely, voluntarily, sacrificially, and generously to the work of God's kingdom because Jesus changed their hearts and they want to invest in what he is doing in the world. So Paul here talks about two different ways of giving. The kind of generosity that flows from experiencing God's blessing and trusting in his sufficiency, sacrificial giving. Losing out. You know what? God, I want the advancement. I want your blessing. I want to reap. I want to sow this to see what you're going to do, God. I don't know what you're going to do. May not be in this world, but it'll be eternal. And that's living open-handed. Versus the kind of begrudgingly greeting, self-reliant selfishness that seeks to keep as much as possible for oneself. The former realizes that everything is a gift of grace. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, and that God can depend on for the future. The latter views as a deserved reward to be hoarded out of insecurity and self-gratification, which are fundamentals of unbelief in the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And so we were talking this week as pastors. One of our location pastors had a gentleman come up to him 2 weeks ago and said, how much am I supposed to give? That's all, we get that, like, well, how much am I supposed to give? What an interesting conversation. I like the conversation. And so some of you have grown up in church or have been around church for a while. The idea of the tithe is real. And so giving 10% of what God has blessed you with financially. And so staying faithful to that 10%. And so the argument is are we no longer under the law? And is the tithe still practiced in the church? And so I point you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. What is that implying that we are to do? It's implying that we must seek the Lord. God, I prayerfully ask, God, I want to be, I have a generous heart. I don't want to place things that shouldn't be where they are. God, what would you like me to give to the work of the ministry? I'll say this, as a dad or a husband, these are good things that should happen in your home. These are things that you should do as you seek the Lord, God, what should we do? And so in the 1,000 times 100 campaign, I told my kids, hey, you know what? You gave $100, just so you know. Like, really? Yeah, it's not yours, but we wanted to do this together as a family. Like, these are things pointing that out. Why? Because we're building generosity, our heart for the things of the Lord, not for our heart for the things of self-gain, self-glory. And so this is not something that should be done flippant or just a, hey, you know what, I attended, here's a tip in the I guess we don't pass offering plates right now, but in the box, all right? What is it? God, I prayerfully am seeking you. It's part of worship. And I'll say this, side note. When we gather together, we should be doing that when we sing as well. When we receive the message, as we gather together, prayerfully consider, God, what do you want me to do today? Not just giving wise, but living out in our lives. God, I am thinking about gathering together as a church. Place someone in front of me today that I can pray for. Place a situation that'll make me uncomfortable, that'll challenge me, that'll convict me. That I can pray for somebody that I, you know what? Maybe I didn't even want to pray for that person, and now I got to pray for that person. That's the uncomfortable place that God has called stretching us a little bit. And that's living faithfully for him. So we've been called to live sensitive, to give generously. And so I mentioned that idea of a tithe. And so you're like, maybe you're a tithe giver. Great. That's awesome. It's a great structure of how we could give. You say, you know what? I land in the grace giving. That we're no longer under the law. That's great too. But both of them should be done as we prayerfully consider, God, what would you like me to do? How would you like me to give? Which leads to the last part of that chapter is we're to be sensitive to give worshipfully. We are called to worship. Verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is an overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. I love that overflowing. See, the Bible says our giving will produce thanksgiving to God. God, you have blessed me so much. It's all yours. But he doesn't just stop there. Paul doesn't. He says, one step further reveals what happens when you give. Not only will you worship the Lord, but the Lord will use this in others' lives that will now give glory to God. There it is, reaching, gathering, growing. It's back. Like, I'm being discipled. I'm giving faithfully, not for myself, but so others can be blessed. I read this week. Many people give out of gratitude of what you have. Health and Wealth says, give out of what God will give you. Paul says, faith is trusting in God to meet our needs in the present that we must give to the needs of others. We don't simply give out of surplus, nor do we give or should we give in the hope of getting more in the future. It's not a money back guarantee. Rather than not worrying about tomorrow, and trusting God to sustain us through the trouble of today. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. Give us this day our daily bread. God, supply my needs. That's what the word says. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I love this quote. Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. It's a tool, right? It's a tool. Who owns it? Right? Does it own you? Man, it can be a overzealous passion. Well, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Nope, God, it's yours. So I know this topic was sensitive, and some of you are like, man, I didn't come to church to be preached at about my money. I'm not preaching at you about your money today. I'm preaching at you about a principle God has said, hey, you know what? Warned us about. What are you placing in front of me? As we teach those principles, as they shape us, all the way back to what we started in the beginning, to live more like Christ. We've been called to be sensitive givers. Sensitive to the needs of others. Sensitive to give generously and sensitive to give worshipfully. So, I challenge us, not you, us, as we prayerfully look at that. God, what would you like us to do? Not give casually or impulsive as verse 7s, but it demands a careful thought and consideration. I knew this morning, not a lot of amens, not a lot of applause. I get it. But as we seek this truth, as we seek to be shaped, molded by Scripture, I'll say this, moms and dads, sit down with your kids. Talk about it. Talk about that. Pray together about it. This is a challenge not only for you, this is for me. Like, well, I handle it fine. I don't talk to anybody else. But like, no, how can you do that together? Pray for needs. Pray for others. Seek the Lord. What can you do in my heart? Break my heart for something that maybe place someone in my path. Really seek that and live that as giving, like sacrificially, generously, with a heart that says purposely, God, place something in my life. And seek the Lord for what we do. That's the most important thing. In everything we do, seek the Lord specifically as we preach this morning on giving. Like, man, should have stayed home. No, you shouldn't have. I realize it's sensitive, but it's important, just as the Bible warns over and over and over and over again. What are you placing? Place God first and foremost to his work. Can I pray for you? And then we got a baptism after the song. God, we love you. We praise you. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the truth that we are shaped and molded by. God, as we preach specifically on giving this morning, financial giving, God, may we be convicted by your word. May we live that out. God, these practical, real steps for us to live. God, help us to be sensitive church, sensitive believers, sensitive followers of you to the needs of others. Step into them. Be truly sensitive to worship with them. To be sensitive to what you're doing. To give generously, God, heart. Not because the pastor is manipulating people. That's not what I want to do, God. I don't want to be about money. I want to be about your work. Seeing more people saved. Seeing more people baptized. Seeing more families transformed by the Bible, seeing incredible things by you, God. But God, you've called us to teach on this idea. And so our heart is that, to preach the whole counsel of God this morning as we apply your scriptures. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for supplying our needs. God, may you challenge us as a church. May you challenge us as believers, as families, to really, truly, heartfelt, prayerfully consider, seek you in what we do, God, in this area of giving. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. It's in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.